feeling like you're set up to fail as a project manager? Or is it time to fight for your worth or protect your peace? And as they say, walk away. In today's episode, we're going to uncover what it takes to reclaim control in the face of impossible odds. Do you mind if I share a quick story with you? You know, the first time I've actually experienced this wasn't in my career. It was actually when I was playing college basketball, and I would get so frustrated because my coach was always on me. And one day I yelled back. I didn't ask him, sir, why do you keep picking on me? Why do you always have something to say about me? Everyone else didn't make the same mistake, but you always seem to pick me out. He said, Edward, let me see you after practice. I said, oh boy, shouldn't have said nothing. I probably should have just waited. But you know what? I'm glad I said it. So at least he know where I stand. So after practice, we meet in his office real quick. And he said, listen, I see something in you. I really believe that if you put forth the work ethic, if you do this, and he started going down a list. So he said, this is why I'm hard on you. He said, the day that I'm not calling out your name, the day that I decide not to pick you to help you get better, this is when you should be getting worried. Why am I saying all this? Well, family, it takes me into point number one. Evaluate whether you're being set up to fail or being challenged to grow. Oh, I like that, family. Reason why I like that is because a lot of times in life, we can look at being challenged for growth as being set up for failure. And I know what you're thinking. You're saying, well, I know for a fact this is somebody setting me up to fail. And that's possibly true. And it may be, not even possibly, it probably is true. However, how do you not know that they may be actually setting you up to grow? How do you not know that they're challenging you because they see something in you that you haven't been able to identify that's already in you? See, sometimes tough assignments are intended to stretch your capabilities. However, and I do mean however, it's important to assess whether expectations are fair or if you're just being given impossible tasks without support, because I've lived that. I led a project where I did have the support. It was, this is the project, go. You're like, what? And that, even though it was painful, even though it was dreadful, it was the best thing that could have ever happened to me in my career, because it taught me in the instance that either you're gonna work in an environment where they're gonna be supportive and they're going to help guide you when you're leading a project and give you the proper resources that you need, or you're gonna be in a situation where they're not gonna give you anything. There's a certain expectation that we're paying you this money as a contractor or a full-time employee. We need you to go, as they say, hit the ground running. So either way, if you're up against either one of these decisions again in your life, then you'll know that if you put me into a situation where you don't give me support, I'll figure it out and succeed. If you put me in a situation where you give me support, I'll still figure it out and succeed. Here's my actionable tip. Compare your responsibilities and resources with past projects of those of your peers. And my last and final one, if you consistently notice discrepancies, maybe it's time to discuss that workload balance with your manager. Point number two, decide whether to stay or go with a balanced perspective. You know, family, when you make the decision, you hear me say decision, not choice, because we know the difference. We know when you make a choice, then that's kind of like one of those things where Les Brown talks about, where he said, I'm going to try to make the meeting. And what he was saying is, when people use the word try, that gives them an easy way out of, if they don't make the meeting or if they don't make the commitment, then they have an easy way out and say, well, at least I tried. Versus when you make a decision, you've cut off every other possible option. It's either this is going to happen or it's not going to happen. But if it doesn't happen, it's not because you weren't there to make the commitment. So when you make the decision to either stay or make the decision to go, be willing to make that and I know it's going to be challenging, to make that as non-emotional as you can. Here's my breakdown. When feeling targeted or unsupported, it's natural to consider moving on right away. Assessing your long-term goals and personal values, though, can provide clarity on the best pathway. My mom taught me this even when I was young, and so I'm going to give this to you. This is a, one of those, and I didn't even think, I was like, I wonder if this will work in my career. So I started doing it in my career as well. Whenever I think about leaving a organization, or I should say making, when I'm making a decision to either stay or go, as simple as this can be, you're going to be shocked when I share this with you. As simple as this can be, it's so effective. And it's basically listing the pros and cons of staying and listing the pros and cons of actually leaving. This right here, when you look out that, when you look at that list, you know, the rule of thumb is, hey, if let's say you're trying to make the decision if you're going to stay, if your cons outweigh your pros, well, you know, well, what you need to do. But if the pros outweigh the cons, then maybe you should consider staying. My last and final actionable tip on this, reevaluate your options based on which path aligns more closely with your professional goals and well-being. See, a lot of times people will, or I should say project managers will want to jump and leave to another organization, but does that organization align with your professional goals? Is there opportunity for promotion? Is there opportunity for pay increase? Is there opportunity for bonuses? So you got to understand, what is your professional goals? And when once you identify and align with those, then you want to make the decision to either stay or go. Point number three, overcome imposter syndrome by owning your expertise. Listen, imposter syndrome can creep in. It's creeped in my life. It probably has creeped in your life, especially, and I do mean especially when the stakes are, when there's high stake roles. Remember that your unique experience and perspectives are valuable assets. You're in that position for a reason, maybe even a season, but you're there. So what are you going to do about it? How are you going to not allow imposter syndrome to creep in and then you start going down the self-doubt lane, or the I don't think I can lane, or you kind of get where I'm going, right, family? So each week, here's my actionable tip. Each week, write down two or three specific ways your skills have positively impacted the project or the team. If you don't know, ask the project team, hey, how have I been, what do you think that I've done well in supporting this team? Simple question. Revisit this list to remind yourself of your contributions and expertise. See, revisiting this list is more for you than the project team, your stakeholders, your sponsor. This is for you. This is a confidence booster. This is to let you know that you can and you will get better. And by getting better, meaning that you're aligning with what you know, I already know how to do, and also understanding you're in this role for a reason. All right, let's move on to point number four. Find a mentor to navigate tough situations. Family, if you haven't heard, I always talk about finding a mentor. Why do I put so much emphasis on a mentor? Mentorship provides a sounding board for difficult situations, period. And experienced professionals can offer you advice on handling challenges constructively. When you have a mentor, especially an exceptional mentor, shout out to you, Phil, an exceptional mentor, they're able to see around the corner because either A, they've been there, or B, based on the situation you're describing, maybe they've experienced someone else that they've worked with or that they know have experienced what you experienced. When you're dealing with a mentor, you are literally signing up for, hey, I'm trying to understand the shortcuts in a long-term game. I like that, because when you look at the shortcuts, and I'm not talking about shortcuts as far as you're not wanting to do the work. I'm not talking about shortcuts as far as you saying that you don't know if you're good enough and going down this whole list of things. When I mean shortcuts, I am identifying or saying that you're getting a better understand if you go down path A, this would potentially can happen. If you go down path B, it's basically a really good sounding board for someone that has already been through what you're about to experience. Here's my actionable tip. Communicate expectations at the project start and provide reminders when necessary. Reach out to trusted mentor or industry colleague and schedule monthly check-ins. Those monthly check-ins are going to be key. Always recommend obtaining an internal as well as an external mentor. Point number five, Challenge negative self-talk in technical or business conversations. You know, a lot of times when new projects, especially new project managers start, they say, well, I'm not technical, or I don't have enough business experience to understand this conversation. Listen, it's common. It's very common. It's common to feel uncertain when technical discussions or business conversations arise, especially if you're less familiar with certain topics. Allowing self-negative self-talk can really undermine your confidence and create unnecessary stress. I know you want to know everything. I know you want to understand the beginning to the end. But in project management, because the key word is a temporary endeavor, you're supposed to have subject matter experts on your team. You're supposed to have someone on your team that knows this information inside and out so that you can lean on them. And when I mean lean on them enough to ask questions so you can get information. And then once you get that information, to go do your homework to understand deeper. But your overall job is not to be a technical guru or a business guru. It's really to understand the beginning of the project and how do we end this project and meet under those triple constraints. Here's my actionable tip. Prepare to ask clarifying questions confidently. This demonstrates engagement rather than weakness. Again, it demonstrates engagement rather than weakness. A lot of times people don't feel like asking clarifying questions because they feel like it's going to make them look dumb. No message, that's going to make you look smart. I don't care. I don't know what it shouldn't be considered a dumb question. You're asking clarifying questions, especially if you're the project manager. Replace negative thoughts like, I don't understand this with, you know what, I'm going to learn this. If I got to set up a meeting with the subject matter expert and pick their brain and just ask them questions, you have to identify the right resource within your project team to get the right information that you're going to need. Point number six, remember that confidence comes from preparation. Even if you're new to a topic, preparation can enhance confidence and give you the information you need to engage meaningfully. Here's my actionable tip. Before technical meetings, spend 15 to 30 minutes reviewing any relevant information or recent discussions that you've had along the way. A bit of preparation goes a long way in helping you contribute and ask insightful questions. Point number seven, family, you have to embrace falling or failing forward as part of the growth. Again, embrace failing forward as part of the growth. Embracing failing forward means mistakes happen. When viewed as a learning opportunity versus, oh, I just made this huge mistake, they enhance your resilience and your adaptability in a future situation. Here's my actionable tip. After each setback, identify maybe one to two lessons that you learned and one to two actions of how if this comes up again, how would you solve it? How would you make it better? How would you improve the situation? This approach, again, builds resilience and keeps you focused on growth. As a project manager, one of the key attributes is you're constantly looking to focus in on growth. Point number eight, build confidence by focusing on what you can control. My new project managers, when you get out there, you're going to be empowered and you're going to feel like, oh, I have to just control everything and make sure this. No, that's not the way to go. You want to focus on what you can control. This helps you stay grounded as well as helps you become proactive versus reactive. Project environments are definitely some of those environments that they can feel chaotic. However, again, what can you control? What can't you control? Okay, I can't control if John makes the decision today that he's not going to show up to the meeting. But what I can control is holding John accountable for not showing up and making sure we document it appropriately. Here's my actionable tip. Identify three tasks you can complete independently each day. And my last and final one, progressing through what you can control provides a sense of accomplishment and also builds confidence incrementally. My bonus for you today is develop the skill to see your way clear. Listen, this phase speaks really to trusting your ability to navigate even when a path isn't entirely visible. You know, family, when you are leading a project, the path is not always going to look visible. Sometimes you're going to just have to take a step and not know if that was the right step to take. However, the ability to maintain your composure is going to be key, because when you're able to maintain your composure in situations like where the path doesn't look visible, it builds credibility with your team. Here's my actionable tip. When you feel lost or overwhelmed, take a moment to focus and breathe, and then take the next small step you can towards clarity. Break down tasks into manageable actions to create a path forward, even if you don't have all the answers up front. Here's my three transformational remarks, family, and I'll let you be on your way. Number one, evaluate whether you're being set up to fail or being challenged to grow. When I started this episode, I went to tell you about the story about my basketball coach and the feedback that he gave me, because I was frustrated the way he was treating me. But actually, he was challenging me to grow. And until I had a conversation with him, I didn't understand that's what he was looking to do. So compare your responsibility and resources with past projects or those of your peers. And if you find any lack of consistency or notice any discrepancies, this is when you want to have that conversation with your manager to understand the reason why. When you get a reason why, it also helps you make a decision of what you're going into. My second transformational remark is deciding whether to stay or go with a balanced perspective. As I told you about the list that my mom told me about, making a pros and cons list, this really does work, family, because it allows you to focus on and keep the main thing. And it also allows you to also maybe to get your emotions out, like writing down, and then you'll be like, okay, this is more emotional versus this is logic, because you really want to make a logic decision. What you don't want to happen is you go to another or to a new organization and it's just a toxic environment. I don't want to make you nervous or fearful, but what I want you to do is when you make that decision to stand on it and believe in it. And my last and final transformational remark is overcome imposter syndrome by owning your expertise. Family, you're there for a reason. They asked you to come on board, or if you were already in a role and they ask you to be the project manager, there was a reason behind it. They see something in you. They notice something in you. So each week, write down two or three specific ways your skills has positively impacted the project team, and revisit the list to remind yourself of the contributions and expertise that you've made along the way. Family, this is going to be huge, because again, it's a good booster for your confidence. And you're going to need that confidence, because you're going to see a lot of trials and tribulations along the way. So family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, listen, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.